I've been interested in this issue of life after death for quite a long time. I did a thesis on it at one stage, which was purely academic. And then I got interested in the thing itself. And I taught in Milltown Park and elsewhere, not to any great large numbers of people, because the topic doesn't have that great interest, or hadn't. And then as the years went by, I began to get older, and so what was academic became more personal and pressing. And so that's partly the reason. Then I also wrote another book called To Grow in Love, which is the spirituality of aging. And that made me think more about saying something in regard to, well, what's life after death? What's the point in growing in love unless you have some sense of the fact that it's relevant after one dies and so on? And so I just felt it in me, and if I believe in the inspirations of God, I do think that they were operating in regard to this, in regard to people beginning to show an interest. My brother, who's a humanist, was asking me questions about life after death because he doesn't think he's going to live that long himself. And so it went. Books became available. I got the energy. I got a little bit of space and so on. And so gradually the book came together. So in one sense, it took me a year to write it. In another sense, it's taken me the best part of 40 years.
It is an interesting area because, in a way, it's a fundamental question. Is there something after we die? And at one level, it seems so final when you see somebody laid out as a corpse that you almost think there really can't be. We just want to believe in that. What for you is the impetus then that allows us to believe that there might be something more when, at least physically, it looks so final?
Well, it certainly does look bad when you're laid out in a coffin and that kind of thing. What I'd say is that if we believe revelation, and that's critical, so if one doesn't accept revelation, then the book would have a lot of queries going for it, say for my brother who's a humanist, or for a non-believer and that kind of thing. But if you are a Christian, and you don't have to be a Christian to be saved, I've no doubt about that. Anyone of goodwill is going to be saved, I do believe. But if you are a Christian, Christianity is massively future-oriented. And so to be a Christian and not to believe in the life of the world to come doesn't make sense. So every other prayer that we make, we say the Our Father, and we say Thy Kingdom come, and things like that, or may lead us to everlasting life, and this, that, and the other. So I've come across quite a lot of people, among them my friends, who would say that they are Catholic, they're practicing Catholics, but they don't have any particular belief in the next life. And so it was trying to address that made me write the book. On the other hand, my own concern for this present world links in with what way things are going to be after death. So if God has a dream and a project, then knowing about it now will enable us to shape this world in some better way than we are doing currently, so that people will live more wholesome and happier lives even now, because they are working in the light of, if you like, the divine project for the world. And
would your humanist brother not take issue with that? I mean, would he not maybe say, hey, hold on, I'm just as good a person as you are in my life, and do as much as I morally and ethically can for people, but, you know, I don't believe there's anything after that?
Yes, my brother is humble enough not to put it quite like that, but it is true that many people who are non-believers do a great deal. All I'm saying is that if you are a Christian, you are publicly committed to allowing the future to illuminate the present. So what has God got in mind? And I interpret that as God intending a community of love in which all relationships are strong and people are included, people are respected, people are wanted, everything is shared. I think that's what God intends. Now, when you read something like Peter McVerry's recent book on Jesus' social revolutionary question mark and his critique of Irish society, that sort of thing got me going and saying, well, what is the divine project? If there is a divine project, can we know what it is? And it's clear enough, it is the kingdom of God, and we say, your kingdom come, and so on. And so Christians should be in the forefront, matching whatever other people are doing and donating themselves for the good of the world in its present form so that it may become better, if you like.